This is a UUMC Syracuse production. Conversations with Pastor Alicia.
I am super excited. Today we have another podcast and we have Roseanne Martin here. She is a volunteer at our food center at 324. And I really was looking forward to talking with her because I had never met her before. She was a volunteer here at the food center at 324. And I wanted to know why she came and what she was doing here and why she stayed and all those good things. So I'm excited to talk with Roseanne Martin. Hello.
Hello.
It's good to have you with us in this beautiful studio.
It's a lovely studio.
We joke because it is the depth of our church where it is quiet. So Roseanne, what brought you to volunteer at University United Methodist Church and at the food center at 324?
Well, a few years ago, I retired. And I loved my job at the time. It was like the best job I ever had. And so I even stayed a year longer because I said, sure, the best job I've ever had. And, you know, now I'm retiring. So it was fine in the summertime. Winter came. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
You know, the house is clean. The laundry's done. I have three children in three different states. Yes, I do.
Wow.
So I felt guilty sitting around reading all day. I really did. It's like I have to do something. So they called me back to work.
Oh.
In my same position because they needed to hire someone. So I went back to work and I was very happy. It's like, yes, I need to work. So then I retired again. Anyway, I retired three times.
Yep.
I wouldn't have gone back to work, but it was the same job, the same people, and I was very comfortable there. And I felt needed and useful, and I was happy. So that's why I decided to volunteer. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. Because I didn't want to have to commit to something. A lot of places you have to work hours. You commit to hours. I didn't want to have to do that because of my children. I like to travel and see them and my grandchildren. So I didn't want to have to commit, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't want to go to a grocery store or anything like that. I didn't need the money. Well, everybody needs money, but, I didn't want to go to work part-time like that. So one of the doctors that I worked with mentioned this food pantry. This is pre-COVID.
Mm.
And she told me that she brought her kids here one day, and they helped sort the food and put it on the shelves for the guests. And I thought, that just kind of stuck with me. I thought that's a nice thing to do. So then she told me at that time that one of the other doctor's wives, Galen, ran this food pantry. So they just kind of stuck with me. And then I went back to work again. And so then when it was time for me to retire, I spoke to Galen's husband and told him that I was interested. He took my number right away, and Galen called me the next day. And I explained I needed to be able to travel. You know, I didn't want to have to ask for time off. You know, and so she told me all about it, and she said, you just show up. So that was me.
That's perfect.
That's what I wanted to do.
Perfect.
So that's how I came here.
Okay. Well, good. We have recruitment agents all over the city, including Galen's husband. Thank you. So what has kept you volunteering here? You came, knew you could take time off and just show up or not show up because you have children all over. So what kept you volunteering at University United Methodist Church?
Well, you know, I know there's poverty in the city, and I know there's people that struggle to make ends meet, even if they're working, you know. But I never saw it before. I never saw the people.
Wow.
And I think that's why I keep coming. When I got out of the car the first day and I saw the line of cars, I was flabbergasted. And so I came in and I felt comfortable. I didn't feel strange at all. But I was taking carts off the elevator. I was running the elevator. I was doing this. I was bringing carts back. I was going to carrying stuff to the cars. And the next, that evening, I said to myself, what if I was stepping on toes? What if that was somebody's job? And I just was all over the place. So I said the next week to one of the volunteers, I said, you know, I thought about after last Friday that I was just doing everything. I was all over the place, and I hope I didn't step on anybody's toes. And this was just the best answer for me. She said, we don't have any toes.
I love it.
And I just thought, good. You know, and I like the camaraderie with the other volunteers. It's just a unit. We just work together. It's an unspoken language even.
Right.
You know, we just need to, we do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is there anything else that, it's actually my next question. What did you find when you came? You kind of said you found this long line because it was COVID when you came, right?
Yes.
So we moved our food center outside for COVID. It's still outside. This is March of 22. Oh my goodness, the time flies.
I know.
And so you saw this line of cars outside. So literally, what did you find? And I heard that you got quite emotional, so... what did you find emotional about the whole thing?
The people and the children in the cars and the need. And I thank God every single day, sometimes three or four times a day, for my health, for the love of my family, and for my wealth. And I'm not extremely wealthy, but I have everything that I need. So for, I have a need to give. And just because I'm so fortunate, so it gives me such satisfaction and pleasure to help somebody out. And my daughter says, of course, that's what you do. You're a mom. You take care of people.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah. Is that what you did? Did you do something like that in your profession when you were...
No, I worked for the chairman of a department, and I was his coordinator, and I actually moved up with him into that office, so I set it up. So I was kind of in charge.
Right.
It was my place, and we did things my way. But I was home for 15 years with my kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was very fortunate.
Yes.
So
you took, you're a mom, you take care of people.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you took care of when you were working side by side with
the chairman,
you were also taking care of this person as well. I'm sure of it, because keeping someone organized is like taking care of them. Believe me, because I personally need that. I need someone to do that for me. So wonderful. Okay, so seeing the faces of the people in need really struck you, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And did you find anything about the people that maybe you didn't think that you would find, like about who they were or?
You know, I'm very impressed with the thank yous. They're not just poor people. They're people.
Right.
And they're grateful. They appreciate what we do. And I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So actually, I kind of now plan my vacations around when I have to work the food pantry.
The whole thing you didn't want to do, you do because you just, it's in your heart.
I do. I love to do it.
Yeah. Right.
And I know all the other volunteers do also.
Yes.
It's a real little community. And I didn't know anyone here. I had never even met Galen before, but I never felt awkward. I just felt very comfortable with the whole mission here.
Awesome. Wonderful. No, I didn't put this in here, but I'm thinking about how you're part of our, a large part of our diaper distribution, right? Can you tell us what that's, how that works?
Well,
you don't have to give us every little detail, but like maybe,
it's hard work. However, it's wonderful. There's babies out there that can't speak for themselves, and the moms are appreciative. And when I found out the first time I did the diaper distribution, that we gave out 10,000 diapers in 2 hours, I was like, wow, that is really something. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And it's not just diapers. There's formula and baby wipes, and sometimes there's books. Sometimes there's bibs. Even the formula, I did not know how expensive that is now.
So expensive.
And, you know, I happened to notice it in the grocery store or the drugstore one day, and I'm like, wow. And we give that to people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? And, you know, even sometimes people that are nursing, they'll give it back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and I found that was, you know, nice too.
Yes, it seems like that's kind of, oh, I don't need this or that, and they'll give it back for someone else, which is super sweet. And period project, I think there's one more word in there, right? Do you do anything? You hand that out as well, right? When you hand out the diapers, do you hand out the bag of pads and stuff as well?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Tell us about a little bit of, do you know much about that? Or
yeah, that's where I set up separate bags now to put those in. And that's where we put the formula and the sanitary napkins and the baby wipes and whatever other goodies that we might have that we get from the diaper bank, I believe.
Yes.
So, so I make those up a day ahead of time. So that saves a little time.
It does. Yeah. The feminine hygiene products come from a bunch of people within our congregation and in our city, but the diapers come from the CNY Diaper Bank, as does the formula and the wipes and stuff like that. We did a women's Bible study last year because it was 100 years of women's suffragette. Women voting for 100 years. And one of the things that we learned, which we didn't know in this Bible before this Bible study, we, meaning the people, I'm going to say of privilege, you know, not that we are rich, but we are of privilege. We can afford feminine hygiene, and it's, you know, not really thought about. But in our city, in our state, in our country, in our world, there are women and girls who are not able to go to work or to school because they can't afford feminine hygiene products to be able to take care of themselves in a way that they can be in public and not be embarrassed. And that, in addition to that, that if they say you miss a 3 to 5 days of school, what does that puts you so far behind, or work, you know, once a month you're taking time off, you'll get fired. And so when we learned this, the women in the study, in the Bible study, were like, we need to do something about this. So they started doing, collecting all that stuff. It's kind of cool. So, I think Galen made the decision to give the feminine hygiene products out with the diapers, because if women are having babies, then they're menstruating women. So that's the way we kind of have, and also they're given upon request. So
there is a need for those feminine products. And that's another thing that I have found with working with this community of people, I learn something new every week about the community, about where the food comes from, the contributions that come in, and the work that's involved, you know, that you do and that Galen does. And it's just, I learn something new every week. Galen's a great teacher.
She is.
I love to just hang around her when I'm not too busy, because she's always teaching.
She is.
So, and she, I like really it when the students are here, because she'll just fill them in on everything. I learn something new every time I'm here, every
awesome.
Week.
Awesome. And feminine hygiene products are not something that folks can get on SNAP benefits, on food stamps. So it's a real, and same with diapers. Diapers cannot be purchased on SNAP benefits. So yeah, it's a legit concern for people to be able to live life and what we expect of people and society.
Well, you know, what's kind of nice too for me, somebody, one of the volunteers will say, this woman asked for feminine products. Do we have any? And I know where everything is now. So I run in and I get what I need, and I get them a little bag, and I just am happy to do that for them.
Yes, yes, yes. It's funny because I'm actually glad that mostly women do the intake, because women are very uncomfortable asking men about this. So I've noticed even like if there's someone helping me right around me that's a man, they're really shy about asking. So I'm grateful that they're comfortable talking to most of the people, most of the women who do the intake.
Well, I've actually had a couple of the guys tell me.
Mm. Oh, good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I said, Roseanne, we need feminine products. I'm like, okay.
Oh, goodness. So tell me about your Christmas this year.
Well, I was totally overwhelmed. I am blessed, as I really feel like I'm blessed. I own my own home, and I've lived in it a long time. I'm trying to give stuff away. You know, I ask my kids first, and if they don't need it or want it, I bring it here now.
Good.
So that's another thing that I learned, that you do help people that have been incarcerated, mm-hmm. or with mental health issues, mm-hmm. or Vera House. You contribute to those people also. So I have, you know, I bring some things here now. So I said to myself one day, I said, what am I going to do when my family starts asking me what I want for Christmas? I don't need anything. So just after Thanksgiving, when everybody's saying, you know what I'd like for Christmas? So I had my opportunity and I said, you know what I want? I want a coat. I want a coat for a homeless person. I said, it can be a used coat. You can go to Walmart and buy a coat. I don't care. But that's what I want. I want one coat. And my daughter-in-law just asked all of her family and friends. She washed and sorted everything. We opened up our gifts around the tree as usual, and I got some nice little gifts for myself. And then they started carrying up these bags from the basement, these huge, huge gift bags with bows on them. They were all washed, they were all sorted, and they were all labeled. And I cried.
I want to cry right now.
I cried. I was just, and I said to Tina, I said, how am I ever going to thank you? She said, you just did.
Oh, so sweet. It, from what I saw them come in, it looked like it was 8 leaf or more leaf bags, like big leaf.
They're actually bigger than leaf bags. Oh, they were like those big Christmas bags for oversized gifts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And there were like 8 or more, right?
Yes. There were eight bags.
Eight of them. And I mean, I don't even know how many coats, just so many coats. And it seems like your family and friends really got behind this sweet idea.
They did. They did.
I would have totally cried too. I want to cry now. Sweet.
So this is funny. And thinking of having the podcast, and I made some notes for myself, and I thought, was thinking about the Christmas gifts that I got for the community, actually, from very loving, giving people. So I thought, now what am I going to do for next year if they ask me? I just thought of this like 2 nights ago.
Oh.
I said, I know. I'll tell them I need feminine products, I need toothpaste, I need deodorant, I need drugstore items.
Awesome.
So that's my thought. So
I love it.
I hope they ask.
I know. I think next Thanksgiving they will. And so all those coats came here right after, like before New Year's, right?
Right.
Was here and they were put out for our guests to take as needed.
You know, there were coats, gloves, hats, boots, blankets.
Oh, it was so sweet.
I don't know. There was too much. I couldn't open them. I couldn't. They had to be delivered in a truck. I couldn't have brought them in my car.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was this big production to get them here. I remember that. Well, I love that you were thinking, oh, what am I going to ask for next year? I love that. Maybe that'll be a good idea for all of us to start thinking about what we want for Christmas. And maybe it is, like you're saying, something that we can give away. I was so moved by your story, and that's really why I wanted to have you talk about how it came about and just how it felt. It seems like it felt overwhelming in a good blessing, like a blessed way.
It was wonderful. And that's really, I'm going to say it again, I'm blessed. And if I can help someone else, I need to do that.
I get it. Wow. I think you answered this question already, but I'm going to ask it again just in case something else comes to mind. What have you found special about volunteering here at UUMC?
It's hard to say because I look forward to it, and it's hard to say exactly why. It's fulfilling for me. It gives me purpose. It's hard to say. I get as much out of it, I think, as the people that we're giving to. So for me, it's kind of give and take.
Mm-hmm.
If I can make somebody smile and they say to me, have a great day, I say, that means a lot coming from these people. The people.
Right. Yes.
And now that I've been here just over a year and I'm starting to learn some of the people's names and they're familiar to me when I see them. And I like the respect that all the volunteers give them also. You know, of course, most of the volunteers have been here longer than I have, so they know them, you know, much better. But I'm starting to get to know different individuals, and it's nice. I have more friends.
Right. Yeah, it's very important to Galen and myself that volunteers treat our guests as with dignity and as guests, with great hospitality. So I'm glad that you've noticed that and that's how you are as well. I mean, it just, to me, I feel like it's probably a challenge to even get into that food line, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
And so to then be received with love and hospitality and dignity versus someone doing the opposite, I think it makes it a lot easier for friends who are, you know, struggling. And
they are struggling, and it has to be a big deal for them to come for the first time, to get the courage to let other people know that they need help.
Yeah.
They just can't do it. And so I'm sure it takes courage for them to come the first time. But then as they are treated like guests, and they know that there's people that care about them, us, and I like to use the word us now because I feel like I'm part of this now.
Awesome.
You know, so I'm not just a helper, I'm part of it.
Yeah. I remember in the beginning of COVID, we had a lot of, not a lot, but some news crews coming because we were at, you know, in the real depth of COVID and in spring and summer of 2020, we were giving about 300 families meal, like 3 days worth of meals every week. And so there were some people who were like, I don't want to be on camera. Cause they needed the food, but they were also a little ashamed, which makes me sad because, like you said, the give and take, like sometimes we all have times where we need, maybe it's not food, but there's other things that we need. And there's other times when we can give. And that's what I tell anyone who I talk with who seems embarrassed or a little shame-filled. As I said, knowing just how you're presenting yourself, I know you will pay this forward one day. Right now, this is where you're at. But one day, you will have something different will be going on and you'll be able to give back. So don't ever think that this is a one-way street. It's always something we can give, you know, pay it forward in the future. And hopefully that brings them some comfort. But I just know that was a big deal. I don't want to be on TV. I don't want a picture taken of my car or of me, which of course we have to be respectful. So, but it takes a lot of, like you said, a lot of courage.
Anyway, I'm very happy to be part of this family. Aww. So that's what it feels like to me. It does. It's a heartfelt feeling. So I'm happy to say that.
So it's interesting that you say family because last week I interviewed Barbara Slater and Shirley Edge, who they volunteered, they said, downstairs, which we talked about what that is with the podcast listeners. But they also named this as a family. So it's so sweet that, you know, many people are feeling as though this is a family working together toward a common good. That's very sweet. So do you have a message, which I think you already gave me, but I'm going to ask again just in case you have something further. Do you have a message for anyone looking to volunteer, either here at the church or anywhere? I mean, this might not be someone's thing, but...
Try it.
Ooh, good advice.
You'll like it.
Try it, yes. And just see how it goes. I love it. Because when you came, that's what Galen said to you. Just try it and see how it goes, right?
Right. I want to bring people with me just to see this community and what we do as a family for the community.
Yes.
So I'm trying to recruit it.
Good. People. Well, and you kind of did recruit your family by having them get coats. I mean, so many coats and boots and hats and gloves. It's so cool. Well, I am so grateful. Is there anything else you'd like to say or share? Sometimes I talk a lot. So if I took over, feel free to say whatever you like.
Well, as far as volunteering, I really would tell anyone that I know that's able, and that's another reason I thank God every day for my health. I am able to do this, and that's a wonderful thing at my age, you know. So I wish more people would just give it a try. And if this isn't something that they want to do, there's a lot of people out there in need of help.
Yes. Yes, lots of ways to volunteer your time.
Right.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to say? No pressure. Just
no. Other than I'm very happy to be here, happy to have met you, and I'm not a member of this congregation, but then again, I feel like I am.
You are, yeah.
So thank you very much.
You're welcome. We actually call it a church family, right? Because it's beyond just who sits in the pews. It's a family. So, I'm so glad that you feel that way. And I'm so glad to have met you in general, but just have this conversation with you. It's been really meaningful and heartfelt. And I'm so, so grateful for, your courage. I'm going to say courage to come and try it. And, thank you so much for your message and your big, big heart. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.